think you met.
Okay. Hello, ladies and gentlemen, geeks and nerds. Nice to have you here at the LinuxCon Faum. And I'm Matt Reschenberg, coming from Germany. I'm the quick introduce myself. I'm a project manager of Open Mosaics View project and KaiSCSI admin project. Currently working for this big project, OpenQM, as a freelancer. And yeah, you will find me there in the mailing list all over the place. So we skip the uninteresting part and come immediately to the agenda of today's talk. First, we have an overview about the what OpenQM is and about its features. We'll find out how it works in detail. We'll speak about the architecture and how plugins can enhance the functionality of OpenQM and add new features. We'll then come to a generic layer inside OpenQM called virtual environments, which are actually the service you provision to servers, the services. We will speak about high availability. There will be a bigger part about virtualization, which is going on in all data centers today. There's a short passage about support for non-Linux operation systems, and there will be, of course, time for questions and answers. So now let's start with the overview about OpenQM. What is OpenQM? So first, it's derived from a commercial project and now being open source since a year. Our project is located at SourceForge, and the general project is a data center management platform. It consists of a core server, which is kind of small, and this server mostly just serves the plugins, which adds the features to OpenQM. So most features actually in OpenQM are implemented by plugins. The motivation behind this is the same as in the Linux kernel, to keep it small and just add features as components which are not disturbing each other or great feature about OpenQM is that it provides a generic virtualization layer. That means it supports all kind of mainstream virtualization technologies and confirms them, so administrator have no hassle to change from one virtualization technology to another or to a physical server later. It also supports a different operation system. First, of course, Linux. It also supports FreeBSD, Solaris, x86, and Spark platform. And surprisingly, we also support Windows operation system. There is, of course, also support for complex network topologies like VLANs. And last but not least, we have a very developer-friendly build system. That means the source code is structured in a way that developers can recompile the whole thing very easy and very quick. So first let's start with how does a common data center nowadays look like? What are the requirements for nowadays data center? One of the most serious things we need as sysadministrators for data centers is a rapid multi-environment provisioning system. That means we need to be able to deploy servers based on user requests or developer requests very fast. It should be scalable, of course. We must have a dynamic load handling. That means if a service gets overloaded, maybe we need to add some nodes. Of course, we need to monitor the whole servers and services and manage them in case of failures or administrative changes. One big thing is what we want to do in today's data centers is improve the server utilization to cut cost. That means a server which was ordered by a user for a project which lasts about a month or so, after this month it may be completely underutilized and just stands and your data center producing heat, consuming power. This is what we don't want. We want to reuse this free available resource after it's free again, it's available again. There's nobody is using it anymore. Of course, we also need to keep track with updates, security patches for the deployed servers and services. So patch and configuration management is also a very serious part of a data center management system. So first, let's have a look at how does a typical data center nowadays look like. So here we see different islands of servers, either managed by a single sysadmin or a sysadmin pair island. We have a different environments, like production environment or testing, development environments. Each server is built from the scratch. Somebody installed it, somebody ordered it, placed it in your data center, connected to the network. To make it all worse, there may be different, or there for sure be different service level agreements for each of those islands, or for even for each of those servers. And every environment is very isolated and has its special needs. So, at all, it does not look very satisfying to me because. As a system administrator of a data center, we need to now take care of lots of different things. In most cases, lots of different tools are used to monitor and manage the different server islands. At all, it seems to be very, very complex, and since we are planning to add more systems to it, maybe in the future, it's getting more and more complex. So, at all, not a really satisfying situation, but we have to take care to make it better or make it easier to manage. So let's have a look how OpenQRM can help us with this situation. So in OpenQRM, there's basically a single management server, which of course can be installed or set up in a high available manner. Otherwise, it would be the single point of failure for a data center, so your management server goes down and you can do nothing nothing anymore. So this is the center, the OpenQRM server, and maybe one or more hot standbys. On the right side, we have our computing resources. That means the physical servers in your data center connected to the network. Those are either already existing or being ordered by users or whatever. On the left side, we have a generic layer called this virtual environment, which are our services. That means there are several. The virtual environments are kept on. Yep. Sorry. As we can see here, the virtual environments are kept on the left side, completely separated from this. This is the storage, or a storage server, which on which the different file system images for the servers are located. And with OpenQRM, we can then deploy those file system image, which are actually your servers. But only the software part of the servers. That means the root file system and maybe included applications. Via OpenQRM to your available computing resources. So this is being handled I have to search the right word. The whole provisioning process in OpenQRM is automated to help and assist the administrator. Okay. So. Now, let's get a bit more into detail about these virtual environments. What are they, how they are being managed, where they are located. So, as I said, a virtual environment is in OpenQM is a logical layer for servers and services. It's the software part of your application. That means a root file system, an included application on the root file system, and a boot image. That means it can be a Linux kernel, it can be a Solaris kernel, or whatever. The root file systems of your servers in OpenQM are normally kept on a centralized storage, because then you get automatically high availability from the storage server. It can also be deployed as local. That means the server image is being pushed during the provisioning phase to the local hard disk of the node. And the node is being rebooted and coming up. The virtual environment also consists of the provisioning metadata, which is the profile of the service. It includes, for example, what application is running on there, how many nodes I need for this application, if it's a cluster, for example. Do I need a physical node for it, or can it be a virtual partition? Which kind of partition? It also includes information about the server-level agreement, for example, needed to be high available, or does it need to be high available or not? And according to this profile in the virtual environment, the OpenQM server is then deploying the server, the software part of the server, to available nodes in your data center. That means idle resources. Now let's have a look at the general architecture of or the OpenQM server. Its base functionality is provided by the core server. It's a Java application running in a Tomcat server. Features are added to this server via plugins. That means we try to keep the server small and robust, and additional features or new methods to deploy for deployment, for example, are being added by plugins. Those plugins are hooked into the OpenQM server via extension points provided by the OpenQM server, and they can either add functionality to the OpenQM server, like adding additional web pages or services, or they can change existing services or enhance them. And all these plugins can be implemented in different languages. A big part of them is shell scripts. It can also be a Java part, which then can operate with the Java objects in the main server. It can be nearly everything. For example, PHP also. So each plugin has a simple XML file in which those extension points are defined, and for each extension points, for example, what should happen when the event happens the plugin is looking for. Then inside the plugin, for example, the plugin can run a script or start a service or change an object in the QM server. So. This is an overview about this architecture I just explained. We have the bottom layer, the OpenQM server, the core. Then we have the plugins layer. This is what the server provides as extension points. And on top of this, we have the different plugins, for example, for virtualization, for enhanced monitoring, high availability, and so on. So, what's next? The file system storage. This is the left part of the diagram we just saw, where the virtual environments are located. We are trusting on a centralized storage, which can be either an NFS server, an iSCSI target, or a IOE or co-rate storage. We are working also on fiber channel boot, stuff like that. The virtual environment, as mentioned, mostly consists of the file system image of your server. And OpenQRMS brings tools for automatically imaging an existing server into a file system, which is then located on the storage server. It means the file system image management tools we provide, we can create file system images, remove them, clone them, and so on. We also have support in OpenQRM for local root file systems. That means, in general, OpenQRM is about net booting. So we net boot the available resources and then manage them, that means attach a root file system to them. Or we use this net boot to push a server image to the local hard disk. Then reboot the server without net booting, and it comes up as a local server. We did this because many people are asking us to support this. And we add this feature, the local deployment feature, also by a simple plugin. Good thing about using a storage server for locating the file system images is that most of the newer storage server already have a high availability standard, so we don't need to care about that so much. And those storage servers supporting cloning. That means we can have a bunch of pre-made server images, like templates for your web server, your database server, your whatever server, which is known to work fine. And we, when we get a user request, I need a new server, and it should be web server, that. We just can clone an existing template via a snapshot, for example, and then deploy the snapshot. Makes things very easy and fast. So next thing is, what we can do in OpenQRM is we can share the file system between different nodes. That means we attach a single root file system to more than one node. This is especially useful for clustering on the fly. It means I can create a virtual environment, and I say I can configure in its profile. It should start with, for example, one node. It should maximum have 5 nodes. And I can simply scale it up and down by adding nodes or removing nodes on the fly. The good thing about a shared root file system is, of course, we have a single point for updates and patches. We just apply it to the single file system, and it immediately happens on all your running servers. Shared file systems are mostly used for web farms, for example, or for HPC computing. So to start using OpenQRM in an existing data center, we for sure needed to provide an easy migration path. That means if I have an existing data center running all my services, I don't want to risk failing a production server just by moving to a different technology now. So what we provide is a step-by-step migration to OpenQRM without changing the existing data center, but rolling in a smooth way. Yeah, so, for example, we noticed that in each data center there are several components being used, which the administrator of the data center never will change. So we don't want to change them either, because this will be something new for the system administrator. What we can offer in OpenQRM is, for example, if it's an enhanced monitoring system the system administrator need, we just can add this monitoring system as a plugin to OpenQRM. So at all, it's a smooth migration, and there's no risk to do this. Now let's talk about the high availability in OpenQM. Also a serious feature in modern data centers, because we want to have our be our services up and running, and not hassle with downtime. So first we need to separate it into two areas. One is the high availability for your management server, the OpenQM server. The other part is the high availability for your actually service running, for your services. So for the OpenQM server, we specially designed it to be high available, so you can set up one or more hot standbys, and in the case of an error, the OpenQM services will automatically fail over to the next server, including all plugins and services. For our servers, we have also different layers of high availability. So the easiest one is in OpenQM is hardware high availability. So it's a simple checkbox inside the my virtual environment profile. I can say yes, I want high availability, or no, I don't. I don't need it. In case I need it, what happens if if my server go down, for example, due to a hardware failure? OpenQM automatically will detect that this service is not running anymore. The server is down, and it will rapidly deploy the server to a different available node. This is especially useful for services which can accept small downtime, like a minute, because this is the time it needs to deploy the same server to a new node. It's just like booting up. For other services which don't accept, where downtime is not acceptable, there's a high availability plugin inside OpenQM, which is able to transfer the last good status of the application, including memory content, through the network to a hot standby node. This is when you're using this, you will have like a zero downtime. It's very, very short. So there's also the option that if we can see, like the new servers nowadays have monitoring components which monitor the hardware itself. So if we are able to see that a server the hardware may get problems in the future soon, we have also the option to live migrate a physical system from one node to another. This is called TEM. It's transparent application migration. So it can be manually initiated by the administrator, and the migration phase will move all processes from one system to another with near zero downtime. It's just like a millisecond or so. Okay. Yeah, just forgot to go on with the slide. So this is basically what I just told about the high availability layer for my managed nodes in OpenQM. We have the hardware failover, the simple checkbox provided by the virtual environment profile. We have the application fails over to a hot standby, and we have the live migration feature, which can migrate a physical system, server on the physical system, either to another physical server or to a virtual partition. So I just mentioned partition, virtualization. Virtualization actually is a big thing in nowadays data centers. Let's speak a bit about it. OpenQM seamlessly manages the physical servers or virtual partitions. That means my services, my virtual environments are located on the storage server, and I can just configure the virtual environment profile either to use physical nodes or to use partitions. This is possible by having a virtualization layer inside OpenQM which confirms all currently mainstream technologies in virtualization. So in OpenQM we have plugins to support the different technologies as VMware, Xen, QEMU and Linux Linux vServer. And the funny thing, or the good thing about it, is that as an administrator, I can decide at any time if my service ABC should run on a virtual, on a physical node, or run inside any kind of partition without changing it. So I don't need to hassle with different config files or even convert, for example, a VMware image to a Xen server image or a Linux virtual server root file system or configuration files. Don't need to. We just deploy our standard servers via the virtual environments through either physical nodes or virtual partitions. Yeah, that's what I said. In the virtual environment profile, you can the administrator may choose if it should run on a physical node or from a or on a resource from a type partition, and each plugin is providing a different type of partition. So the Xen plugin is providing a Xen partition, QEMU partition, and so on. So what we also find out that it's not likely to happen that we just have one kind of operation system in a data center. Most of the time we see heterogeneous data centers which are using all kinds of available different operation systems as Linux, Solaris, FreeBSD, also Windows. And so we thought about we did not only thought about, but we added also support for non-Linux operation systems to OpenQM, also via plugins. Come to this now. So it's OpenQM is not limited to manage only Linux system, but we support Linux, Windows, FreeBSD, Solaris, both Solaris architectures, x86 and Spark. The operation system support is being added to OpenQM via additional plugins. And the good thing is that we now can confirm all different operation systems in a single management user interface. So the management of the other operation systems are basically in the same way as your Linux service. The deployment works either via network or local deployment, and things are fine. I want to speak a bit also about our build system, which we completely restructured a year ago since we went open source. We want to make it easy for our developers or for eventual contributors to write additional plugins or to compile the whole thing by itself. So we separated the core server from the plugins, and we added a build cache for very fast development. That means the first time you build OpenQM, it will download components from the internet, because we don't want to reinvent the wheel if somebody already did the job well. For example, if you compile the Nagios plugin, it will download the latest Nagios from the Nagios website, compile a local, and add this plugin to your OpenQM installation. The second time you build the OpenQM, it will not download it anymore because it keeps it in the cache, like the TGZ file, and it also keeps the already compiled binaries in the cache. Same as Maker's doing it. So the second time you compile OpenQM, it will just go because everything is there already. If nothing changed inside the code, if something changed, of course it will be recompiled, or if for example a version update needs to be done. Good thing about version updates. Using the Nagios plugin again as an example, the whole build procedure of a component for a plugin is defined in a single configuration file. That means where I should download the package, how I should compile it, what should be the result, what I need. And if I want to make, tomorrow Nagios updates or release a new version of this monitoring server, we just change the version number in this configuration file and rebuild it. Okay, so in OpenQM, as mentioned, we do not try to reinvent the wheel. Like we see that Nagios is used as a monitoring system. It's widely used in common in data centers. So we did not plan to rewrite Nagios, but just use it as one available component. Same as for the virtualization plugins. So the installation itself, when you have it compiled, it installs OpenQM installs itself within a single base directory, so it does not pollute your system where you which you're using as your management server, but it keeps everything under a single directory. So if you want to deinstall it and you don't use it anymore, just remove the directory. Or rather. This is to avoid system changes on the installed system. Also makes it easier for developers or for the QA to just reinstall quick and test something. So on our roadmap, we just finished our automatic provisioning system. It's also a plugin. What we experienced at customer side, at a big who has big data centers, is that the normal way of deploying a new server is that some developer or user writes a request, sends it to some place, then a server gets ordered, placed in the data center, network is connected, it's being installed, it's being configured, and then the user can use it. We found out that this procedure in fast companies takes about 2 weeks. In bigger and slower companies, it can take about half a year, which is completely not acceptable, not for the system administrator nor for the user, because we need to keep track with the technology. So what we created is a plugin, a provisioning plugin, which provides a web portal for the end user of the data center, so he can commit. I need in 2 weeks. I need 3 nodes, operation system XYZ. I need it for 2 months. Commit. So as the system administrator, you will get a single request from this user, and you just say okay or no. The rest, OpenQM will handle fully automatically. So this includes also deprovisioning. Normal thing is that after the project is finished, the server stands in the data center just producing heat and consuming power. Nobody uses anymore. In OpenQM with this provisioning plugin will automatically deprovisioning the server and make it available again as available resources for my next provisionings. So we actually don't need to buy new servers every month, but we can reuse existing resources which are not utilized anymore. So this is a great thing. Another one is we just added support for VMware ESX server. We also added enhanced Windows support through hardware iSCSI boot. That means today you can get a network card which has the iSCSI protocol directly on the chip on the network card, and so you can use it to network boot Windows, which is a funny thing, and useful of course too. We of course planning also further integration with other useful data center management components. We experience that, as I said, in every new data center we come in, there are special components the user wants to have or needs to have and don't want to get rid of. And those can be simply added to OpenQM via those plugins. Okay. Coming already to summary and conclusion. We have an extensible open architecture. That means we OpenQM provides all different extension points to add features to the OpenQM server without actually changing any line of code in the base. This is good for robustness, so plugins are self-containing and may not disturb the core server. We have a lot of unique features and lots of automatism. As just mentioned with the provisioning plugin, as a system administrator, you just get a single request and you just say yes or no. Everything else happens on the fly. We also get a better data center performance because we can reuse the existing available hardware. And through this rapid provisioning, we can we are more flexible. So if a user, for example, wants to change from physical nodes to partitions, no problem. Just need to change the profile for the virtual environment. Don't touch any config files. We support in OpenQM all mainstream virtualization technologies. There are currently just coming some more which I'm sure being there will be added also by additional plugins. There's a new one, I just read it 2 days ago, an open source VMware clone or something. No, it's not QEMU, it's something like... Yeah, this is the kernel hypervisor thing, yeah. So for this KVM thing, I just want to mention it. We will soon have a minimal update in the QEMU plugin, which is just a mod probe for the KVM module. we also support in OpenQM non-Linux OSs. You saw the list of supported operation systems, and feel free to add support for different operation systems via a plugin. And last but not least, we provide a smooth integration phase, so there's no risk to try OpenQM and slowly roll it into your data center. So, where to find the project? Yeah, these are the URLs. The main project site is located on SourceForge, we went open source in January 2006, so we are open source about 1 year now. And in this year, we were also June project of the month at SourceForge. The whole OpenQM project is sponsored by Clusters. You will find a link also on the OpenQM website. So, no? Next slide doesn't want. But I'm finished more or less. It's now time for questions.
About changing configuration of existing host, is the way you do it is by configuring one host to do it, save its image, and then the configuration becomes available for other hosts? Or can you just somehow tweak existing multiple hosts after they have been provisioned already by OpenQRN?
You can do both. So the question was, if I understand it correctly, if configuration changes can be applied...
How do you build a new server?
Sorry?
How do you build a new image? How do you change an existing image so from now on, this will be the image that will be used for provisioning of this kind of server.
So the question is how to create or how to capture a new image for a server and how to configure it to make it available for one or more nodes. So the OpenQM provides file system management tools. It means the normal way is that you have an existing server running in your data center, and you want to create an image from this. So you can capture this image, and during this capturing procedure, it will be transferred to your storage and being added to the OpenQM server database, so you will see it in your in the management GUI. The server itself, so we care about more or less about the management and provisioning of the server. The server itself we consider as owned by the user. So the user normally is aware of how to configure his application inside the server, and either he's doing it himself, or it can be provided also via an additional plugin, which, for example, cares about different static or dynamic IPs for additional network interfaces, tweaking configuration files for the application to use the right interface or to connect to the database or whatever. And this can be also done by plugins. So a plugin can provide a nodes service. So you can attach this node service to several VEs or to nodes to your service, and they're going to be started automatically according your configuration. So it's OpenQM is not a single server management tool or an application configuration tool, but I just saw there's someone here from a project called Puppet, which is doing this thing, I think, in a very good way. There's also CF engine, which you could use, and this features could be added also by plugins to OpenQM to automate this full system.
That last comment answers one of my questions. I was also curious about your application migration thing. How does that actually work? Are you trying to say that you've got, like, you know, let's pick an application, I don't know, like a web-based, you know, PHP app, right? Can you migrate that from one server to another live? How does that work exactly?
Yes. So the question is how the live migration feature in OpenQM works. The plugin is called TEM, Transparent Application Migration, and it consists of a kernel module, when you initiate the migration from one node to another, OpenQM deploys a second system with the same root file system of the first system. During this the initial boot up process, it will load the process data structures from the first system, and it will make it will transfer it and make a delta of the changes, and as soon as the delta gets very 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 small, it transfers the last bit, fences the first node, and continues starting up the second node. Which then has the whole process structure built up internally already.
Much like the Zen-like migration.
Yes, yes, very similar.
So it has a separate kernel module that does that synchronization.
Yes.
Wow,
yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah. About the live migration, this is the TEM feature. This is, I have to say, this is being provided by the Clusters company. It's not open source, sadly. Maybe it will get open source in the future. This can be also used to migrate from a physical system into a virtual machine, like from a physical server to into a VMware partition, and back and forth, of course. We also lately just added to the Xen plugin the live migration feature, so you can also use the live migration feature from provided by the Xen, but this of course works only from virtual to virtual.
This rebuilding and reconfiguration of servers, can that be done completely remotely without any physical access at all to the servers?
Yes.
So no change of boot sequence or pressing the reset button or anything is.
Yeah, you. What do you mean exactly with reconfiguration?
Like, if a new server has to be built, if you push an image, I mean, question is like, do we need any physical access at all to the actual server for
no.
reconfiguration management,
no.
reinstall?
You don't need.
Nothing. Okay.
No. The question was, just to repeat it, if you need a physical access to the servers managed by OpenQM, no, you don't need. We also have just added a few plugins to support hardware, power on, power off. This is needed or is useful for fencing nodes in a high availability situation. So if one node goes down, you must be really sure that it's really down before starting up the service on the next hot standby. So in this case, you can just power it down completely.
Is that via IP and all that?
Yeah. And we also support HP ILO.
Yeah.
Some more questions?
If you have an application that's requested, say, a gigabyte of RAM, and you create a virtual machine for it to run on, is QRM tracking that against all of the resources you have, like how many you've deployed? Like you were saying, there's a way for application owners to request a certain set of servers, and the admin can just click OK. How do you know whether you've got those resources? Is QRM tracking that, or
hardly,
are you doing that?
Hardly understood you, sorry.
So.
I come to you.
I will repeat the question so everybody can mark.
Is QRM tracking physical machine resources?
Yes.
It is.
The question is if...
The question was if OpenQM is tracking my physical machines. Yes, it automatically detects new resources. So when you want to add a new machine to your data center, just set it to PX eBoot, to network boot, and it will automatically appear in OpenQM as available resources.
And it knows what you've allocated and what you haven't. Like, so I think that answers the question. Never mind.
Okay, one last question. Okay.
Yeah,
thank you very
over
much.
There, over there was one.
One more.
Yeah.
Right, just a quick question. I seen that you have a web interface, you have command line interface. Do you have any APIs? So if I was using Perl or something like that, could I interface with it via APIs completely?
Yes, we have... No library which interfaces. The question was if we have a web interface, we have a command line client. The question was if we provide an API for example, for Perl programmers or for other C programmers, Java programmers, whatever. Yes, we do. Not especially for Perl, but we have a Java API in the main server, which is well documented. And what we have is a very detailed API about the plugins, which extension points you could use, there are server services which you can initiate, there are node services which you can initiate, you can interface with the Java objects in the main server from within the plugin, and stuff like that. So I would recommend just look on the documentation site at openqm.org. There is a special page about how plugins can be made and what the features they will provide. Okay? Any more questions?
Okay,
thank you very much.
You.
I hope you enjoyed the talk and continue to have a great day and a great time here at LinuxConf. Just want to say also thanks to the organization and the great staff here.